I do thank the Lord that he's been with me. He's been with me when I can just go to church and just sit down. But he did promise me that he'd never leave me and forsake me, and he's always been there, and he always will. And you know, right after I first got saved, I couldn't understand that. How could he be with me? And then other people say the same thing. But God is everywhere. God's just not here in this building. He's just not here with us tonight. He is everywhere where he is wanted and where he is needed. And yes, and I do. And I need the Lord every day. I need him 24 hours out of the day. And I do thank him for his love that he showed upon me. I do thank him for my wife. I don't really, I know that Sister Donna and Brother Bill has been probably doing picking today and everything because of their anniversary and everything. This November, I mean this December the 19th, we'll be celebrating our 45th anniversary. I would have never believed. I'd have never believed that she would have put up with me that long. I mean, I'm serious. There's no joking. I'm serious. I never thought that she would have put up with me 5 years, much less going on 45. But it's the commitment that we both made to each other. And that's the thing about it. People today, they don't want to make commitments. They don't want to make no commitments of anything they do anymore. Especially even today, even though if they even think about and decide to get married, they don't think about the commitment that they need to make one to another. That if one hurts, the other one hurts also. And I believe that with all my heart and all my soul. Because it's just like I've told here, you at the church, that nobody's going to run a church down, not to me. Because if they do, I tell them, I say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm not going to stay around and I'm not going to listen to it. But an individual that will talk about their own church, and they have left the church or because of bitterness and because of turmoil or something like that, if they've left the church, then they don't have anything to say. They shouldn't have anything at all to say about the church because they're not there. So don't come up to me and say something against the church. You're not there. And really, and don't say, you shouldn't say anything against the church, even if you're all, at all the services, you should always brag on the church. And if you're bragging on the church that you're a member of and you attend, you're also bragging on the Lord. But if you put down the church, talk about the church, you're putting him down also. Today, I don't understand why people say the things that they say. But they do. I just don't understand it anymore. I just don't understand how God is going to continue to put up with people. Because I tell you, my patience is getting awful thin now. The way some of the people are doing and the way some of the people are acting. You know, and I don't even like to even go and ask people about coming to church. And I don't even like to say anything to them about, I'd love for you to come to church. Just come and try us. They say, well, we will. We'll be there. We may be there Sunday. If not Sunday, we'll be there the week after. I think what we need to do is we need to quit asking people like that. I mean, I've said it before and I'll still say it again. Because what we're doing, and we really, I've never thought of it like this before. And I may have said something here the other week about it. But when we do, what we're doing is basically saying, you can go and lie to me if you want to. They're not telling a story. It's not a fib. If they know that they're not going to be here, and they know if they're not going to be here, but if you invite them to church and they say, well, the way I work, I don't know. If it's any way possible, if I'm not working, I'll try my very best to be there. But if you know that they don't work 5 and 6 days a week, I'm not going to put them on the spot no more. Because I'm just asking them, and I'm tempting them to just lie to me. Because you know when people are telling you the truth or not. And like I said this morning, I don't understand it. The how we are serving and how that they think that we're serving two different gods that's in heaven. They say they're not serving the devil. But yet they say, well, you know, God hasn't burdened me down by coming to church. God hasn't spoke to me about tithings. God hasn't spoke to me about this and that. If God hasn't spoke, they haven't read the scripture. Because that's the only way he speaks to us today, is through the scripture. It's through his reading of the word of God. Now, this evening I could go 5 or 6 different places tonight. But in all the praise reports we've had tonight, what God has done for each one of you, and what he's done for me, and what he's done for my wife, and my family, and my daughter, we could stay right here, and we could just thank him. And just thank him, Lord. Just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We could stay right here and say that. And we wouldn't even come close to even thanking him enough because of all the things he's done for us, of all the miracles that he's performed in our lives. And yes, and I've seen miracles performed. Yes, I've seen miracles performed in little Sarah's life. But you know something? He's just not performing miracles on the ones that's in the hospital, the ones that are sick. He's performing miracles in every living individual that's breathing the air that he gives us to breathe. He is so wonderful. He is so wonderful to me. And I don't understand how God can love an individual like me. But he does. And I thank him for that. I thank him for this church. I thank him for y'all putting your trust in me and my wife. But most of all, I thank you for putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has to be number one. He has to be number one in my life. And he has to be number one in my wife's life. And he has to be number one in your life also. Amen. He has to be the essence of what we are trying to do. He has got to be the reason that we're here. And we're not just here to open the doors and turn the lights on and then go about and paying the and spending the money that comes in. We're not here about that. We're here for him. We're here because of something that he wants us to do. And something that we can do. Because we have him behind us. He gives us his strength to keep on going. But then we need to have the courage to say, God, I know you're behind me. And I know that you're lifting me up each and every day. But now I need you to go in front of me. And you need to remove all the obstacles that's going to come in my way for what you want me to do. And yes, and we're going to have obstacles. We're going to have obstacles and that we come up against. Because Satan, that's what he is. He is the one that creates all the obstacles that we have. But I want to think about this tonight for a little while. And I want to think about the church. Think about and what Jesus Christ wants from the church. We can see over here in the book of Corinthians, I believe it is. I'm fine to turn. No, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Well, I'm going to verses 18, 19, 20, and then 21. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are
no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that builds the church. And who is the church? The church is the individual believer. We have the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. We have the stud that goes up, which is the believers. We have the window panes, that is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not only the light which comes through the windows and comes through the doors, that we can see the light that's outside. And we know that that light that's outside is not run by no wire. It's not run by no switch, and you just turn the switch on or off. Individuals in war around think that you can just turn the lights on and off outside. You can't do that. Why? Because that is controlled by God. No man can control that. They're trying their very best to come up with a way to control the weather, control the outside, and everything that's in the air. They are kind of wanting to control that, but they can't. But in that, with that in mind, first of all, we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit convicts an individual's heart, then they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, they become to know the Father. And not only that, we see where you have a praying church. Why does the individuals pray today? Why do we have prayer meetings? How do we have the services that we know don't forget about God, but we have prayer? And we don't spend that much time in prayer in God's house anymore. But we should, but we don't, and we don't. But it's because of prayer. It's because of knowing the Father that is in heaven. There's the reason that we are a praying church. That is the building that God is trying his very best to build up within the tabernacle, within the temple of each one of our beings. It's not, I can't emphasize enough, the people need to get their eyes off of the building. And I do too. We need to get our eyes off of the building. And we need to get our eyes on the individual soul that's lost. Because putting our eyes upon the building, and yes, it's a whole lot of more work we could do here. Yes, we could go outside and we could maybe come with some money, maybe borrow some money, pay the parking lot. We can do this and do that outside. But is that going to win somebody to the Lord? Is the question.
Will that lead someone to the Lord if we happen to go out there and get a contractor to come out here and he gives us a price on redoing the parking lot, taking up all the asphalt that's out there and putting down a whole new pavement out there? Will that cause people to come in? Will that cause people to get saved? I don't know. I don't know if it would or not. But if it did, if it called for one individual to come through these doors and to get saved, we could go to the bank and we could spend $500,000 on it. And it still would not be enough for that soul. Because that soul is worth everything that we could muster up, everything that we could ever come up. Why? Because they don't have to worry about going to hell. And we don't have to worry about when we stand before the Father and said, and the Father said, well, hey, son, you didn't do what I asked you to do. You didn't go ahead and go out there and put an elaborate parking lot out there. You didn't go out there and put the white picket fence all the way around the lot and everything and didn't have a curbing out there and put some flowers out there and have it beautified and everything. Says if you'd have done what I'd have told you to do, people will come. If I knew for a fact that people would come and that that would get the people in the church, I'd do everything I could to try to go and borrow the money or ask somebody for a great big donation or whatever. Because that's what we're in it for. That's what we're in it for. We're in it to see souls saved. We're not in it just to build up ourselves or build up what one day it's going to burn. And it's all going to burn one day. It's got to burn because the Bible says so. But not only does it have to burn, but we have the evidence that we can look at that tells us it has to burn. What is that evidence? That evidence is sin. Sin that's on every corner of the world, around the globe. That's the only thing that will ever purify this land is by fire. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. When Lot and his wife, when Lot said, come on, honey, we're going. We got to leave. See, Lot was a righteous man. But I don't think Lot really feared God all that much. Because Lot did stay there a little while. After the sin had come rampant there. But you know, the reason that Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt, it wasn't because of the adultery, and it wasn't because of the sin that she had committed. It was because when her and Lot was leading Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah, is when she turned and she looked back and her heart was back there where she had just left. That's the reason she turned to a pillar of salt. Now, I don't know, but some of them say that that place where that they had come out of that city that day, they say it's still some evidence of Lot's wife standing right there where she turned to a pillar of salt. Still standing today. That's what someone tells me that's been overseas, that's been to Israel and been to the Holy Lands over there. And been to them, some of them places over there. They say that they've seen it. And that's what they've been told. The same thing is going to happen to the United States of America unless the Christians get back to praying. The southern part of the United States. I'm going to say something here that you may not understand it, and you may not particularly like it the way I say it, but that's the only way I can say it. But and the reason I can say the southern belt is because that's where we're at. We're in the southern belt. But I believe in the southern belt that we have had so much of preaching, and we've had so much of everything else going on in the house of the Lord, but we've left the main important thing out a whole lot of the time. We don't give emphasis that much on it anymore. And that's where we get our power from. Where do we get our power from? It's through prayer. It's through prayer. It's through talking to God. And then God will burden us down where we'll get in His Word and we'll read His Word. And then God will give us a desire and a vision to go out and to tell people. We need to have a vision of what hell is going to really be like. In the book of Revelation, it tells us. But we need to have that vision, what hell is going to really be like. What's going to happen there in hell. The way we put it, and the way all the preachers, and we get up here, yes, we can preach it hot, and we can preach it heavy, and all that, but still it comes down to the point. We really haven't really touched on that much of it. Jesus Christ, He spoke more on hell than He did anything else. Why? Because that's the reason He went to Calvary. He went to Calvary to die for the sinners of this world. And God the Father, what did He do? He created what? He created hell for who? That was for Lucifer and his archangels that was in heaven with him. And when he fell there, that's who God created hell for. God did not create hell for the human individual. Only thing God created for the human individual was that hell called Golgotha. They say you can go over there and they say that hill looks just like a skull. And the Bible speaks of it. But we haven't really touched on what really hell is going to be like. Hell is going to be hot. It ain't going to be no air conditioned down there. I mean, we can take the hottest day of the year of any state that we want to, even any foreign country, it could get to 120, 130 degrees out here. But guess what? the ones that's in hell is going to wish it was 130 degrees down there. But it's not going to be. It's going to be continuous. Continuous rolling fire. And any time that I see TV or and I look on the weather channel and stuff like that, and I see where the Sister Shelby, I mean, give me some more water. My mouth is dry. Yeah. It's dry. But I tell you, but what we need a good dose of what hell is going to really be like. We need a good vision of what hell is going to be like. You know, like, I don't know, what, 4, 5, maybe 6 months ago, I preached on that we must have a vision. You know, God, give me a vision for the church. God hasn't changed that vision, but also I need to ask God, God, would you please put a vision on me that I can visualize what hell is all about and what hell is going to really be like. Because if he does, then I will be more inclined to be a better witness and a better Christian for him. How does that come about? By praying. Praying. That's what we need to focus on in our daily lives. Yeah, we go. We may be at home, or we may come to church and we'll pray for 5, maybe 10 minutes. Then we'll get up and we think we done prayed. No. We need to spend an hour in prayer. We need to spend a couple hours in prayer. Because the thing about it is, it's going to always take, at least it does me, it takes me the first 15 minutes of my prayer time to get everything out of my mind about what's going on and all the clutter that's there. I have to get rid of all of that. Then I can really get focused in on the need of the church, the need of the people. I could go, we as individuals, each one of us can go out tonight and we could go around and each one of us can go to 25 or 30 different people. You could go and you could talk to 30 different people. I can go and talk to 30 different. If we've done that, how many is here? That's 9 people we've got here tonight. Right? What's 9 times 4? It's 36 per individual. Now, you take 36 times 9, how many of you got? That's over 200 people, I know. But if we go out and if we witness and if we go out here and ask 200 people, let's say, do you want to go to hell?
No.
That's exactly right, son. That's exactly right. That's what they'd say, no.
Amen.
No, they don't want to go to hell. But they don't want to go to heaven either. Something is wrong with that scenario there. They don't want to go to hell. But yet they don't want to go to heaven either. Because they won't come to the house of the Lord if you invite them. Why? I'll say this. That I believe that they know that they can come to the house of the Lord. And they can come in here and they can feel just as comfortable in here as it can down at the bar drinking a beer or at a ball game. Whatever they're doing, they can come in and feel just as comfortable. Should not be that way. They should not come in and feel that comfortable. Who is that going to be on? It's not going to be on the individual when we all stand before the judgment. Gonna stand on us because they felt comfortable in here. It's gonna fall on me. Why? Because they come in, and yes, I said, "Well, you know, it's been a while since we had a visitor. Yeah, we got a family of three or four out there now. I don't want to say anything harsh or anything to for them not to come back. Is that right? No." It's not right for me to feel that way. That's not right. Because I'm supposed to wonder if they're going to heaven or not. And I look at it this way. If I get up and if I preach the way the Lord wants me to preach when a visitor comes in, it's either one or two things is going to happen. When if the thing is all over with, it's either they may say that they heard a message that touched their heart and they'll come back. Or it may be a message that touched their soul that they realized they wasn't saved. And they'll come to an old-fashioned altar. And yes, and they may come, and they may come and want to talk to me, and they may come and want me to pray with them, or come and get Brother Bill to pray with them, or ladies, get one of y'all to pray with a lady that'll come up. But when they do, that's what we need to do. We need to come up. We need to take and wrap our arms around them. And we just need to pray. And say, "Lord, you know what they're up here for. I don't. Lord, give them what they need. If it's salvation, give it to them, Lord. If it's a closer walk with you, give it to them, Lord. If they're looking for a place where they can come in and feel like that they can come in and they can worship the Lord and they feel like they can get the truth from God's Word, touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Well, how are we going to get that? How are we going to get that back in the church? It's by praying, talking to God, and then allowing God to speak to our heart about what we've prayed about. I got six other thoughts about the church. The kind of church that Jesus is building. But I just hit on one tonight praying. And it may take us the next couple, two or three weeks to get them on.
But I think we need to focus on each one of them, one at a time, as we do. Because if we focus on each one of them, and if we focus on them enough, then we can understand what God's Word is saying and how God wants to speak to us. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't want no singing tonight like we've done this morning. I want as many of y'all that will come to the altar. We need to pray. We need to pray like we did this morning. We just need to get in touch with God. And it may take every day. I don't know. But I do know one thing. God does honor prayer. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would be with each and every one of the people that come out tonight. Lord, we pray for them, Lord. I do not know each one of their hearts. I don't even know my wife's heart. Father, the only heart that I know of tonight is my own. And I know there's some things in my own life that's not right. And Lord, and I'm asking you tonight, Father, to forgive me of that. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you can help us to be mindful in what your word says, that we need to talk to you on a daily basis. And I believe that you want us to talk to you every hour of every day. And you can bring back some scripture that we have read in the past. And Father, that we can take this scripture and we can learn from it, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, now that you'll be with the people. Father, help them, Lord. Help this church, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen.